This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 with the Southwest Texans starts right now.
I don't normally share a lot of things that are really personal, but what happened to me? You know, I used to be a tough son. What happened? Here I am, you know, at this late point in my career, and I'm wondering, am I going to be able to hang with this young guy?
Okay.
Well, but I'll keep that in mind.
Just let one of us know, okay?
And really? You really can't keep 10 minutes?
Oh, Bob, screw your camera.
I was trying to figure out, because I knew I wasn't anywhere close to being at 100%. I was trying to figure out how to make it work.
All right, Don. Let me get this.
Everybody, welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I know it's a little early, and you're like, wow, what is the Texan doing on the radio or on the airwaves at 5:30? It's an hour early. Well, you know, stuff happens, and I have to be on the air early. I mean, I don't mind being on the air with you guys, talking with you guys early, you know. Southwest doesn't like to talk to his fans, and all you guys out there, all you wrestling fans, but let's get down to business, shall we? Like, we were playing a little clip from the Undertaker's, his little Last Ride documentary they got going on, man. And let me tell you, you know, I always talk about the Undertaker, you know, always being old and should stay staying home with his kid and doing the 401k thing, man. I have found a newfound respect for the Undertaker. I mean, I know that he's not at age no more where he can go. Like they said, they're going to do a rematch with AJ Styles down the road, and it's going to be a regular wrestling match and not like the Boneyard match, which that right there, the Boneyard match, really took away Undertaker's age because it's like a cinematic match. But when you see AJ versus Undertaker and you guys don't like that match, don't go complaining about it because, you know, like I said, I'm giving Undertaker a whole brand new respect because he did a lot for this business. And one thing I'm going to say is, Taker, my hat's off to you. And, man, just keep on going. But we don't want to see you dead. So, I mean, we don't really want to see the dead, man. But, I mean, you know, retire at a great time. Do this one last match or do one last WrestleMania. Make it a banger. I know you said that you don't want to, you know, go out with a messed up match at WrestleMania while you're retiring. But, I mean, man, not at that age no more. So, Martez, what'd you think about that little Undertaker video or the documentary? Did you get to check it out?
I didn't get a chance to check it out in its whole entirety, but I caught a little bit of it, like the beginning of the documentary. I caught that, and what I saw so far, I really like. You know, I like the fact that the Undertaker is really like revealing a lot of himself to us. He's letting us in. I mean, he's basically opening the door for us to learn a little bit more about himself. And I do have a newfound respect for Undertaker too. So I agree with you with that, man. And Undertaker, man, he is WWE. I always say Vince McMahon is, but Undertaker, he is WWE. And I got nothing but respect for him. He really loves the business, and he really loves helping people. That's one of the things that I found out about the Undertaker, that he doesn't mind taking people up under his wing and helping them get over. So, yeah, I like what I saw so far. Most definitely. And I agree with you 100% because he did open up and, you know, like he opened up and he brought a – he didn't come out as The Undertaker on that documentary. He came out as Mark Calloway, as I want to say. He was narrating the Undertaker's character as Mark Calloway. You know what I'm saying? Like he wasn't coming out the Dead Man or The Undertaker. He was coming out as Mark Calloway saying, oh, well – I want to go out with a bang and all that other stuff, man. I gotta catch the other part. I gotta catch all five parts because I'm gonna be talking about it in the future to come on my show. Because I mean, I love the first episode. I can only imagine the next five or the next four. But you guys, okay. I have a great guest for you guys tonight. She is a deathmatch wrestler. She's a worldwide name, and she is just a great person all the way around. Guys, can you guys help me introduce Valentina Loca? Are you on the line, Valentina?
We have somebody on the line, but they're calling from a private number. We usually don't pick up private numbers, so let me find out who this is, okay?
Okay, appreciate it.
Last time we picked up a private number, people started cursing and this and that and calling people the N-words, so I'm going to double check real quick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but okay. It's all good.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. So, yeah, guys, if you guys got a question for Valentina Loca, you can give us a call. Area code 646-668-8672. Again, 646-668-8672. Guys, help me introduce Valentina Loca. You there? Okay. Well, I'm going to keep talking about The Undertaker until my guest gets on the line. But Undertaker, man, yeah, that documentary, I hope if any of you guys caught that documentary, The Last Ride, all right, give me a call after my guest, and we'll give it a talk. She's on?
Yeah, this is her, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How's it going, Valentina? How's it going tonight?
I'm good. What's good with y'all?
Man, can't complain this way. We were actually talking about The Undertaker's documentary before you got on.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So how's it going? How's everything going with you during this pandemic going on? I know it messed you up on some bookings and a lot of things, but how you doing during all this?
Oh, like, actually, in, like, a weird kind of way, it's been, like, a weird blessing in disguise, or at least I'm trying to make the most of it, because, actually, at the beginning of March, I had to come back to New Mexico, where I'm from originally, because I had a family emergency, so that's never a good time. But then, after all that stuff kind of got resolved, that's when the corona stuff hit, so then the airports were getting shut down, my flights were getting canceled left and right, because I currently live in Iowa, in Davenport, Iowa, where I go and I train and stuff like that. So when all this stuff hit, I guess it hit when it was going to hit. So then I've been stuck in New Mexico since about March. So not only have I been wrestling, but I haven't really been to my house or been around, like, my training partners or anything like that. So I'm here with family. So, you know, it could be worse, but it's been interesting.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. You could be with strangers. But, I mean, Mexico's not a bad place to be neither. But, I mean, I know you want to be at your house and with your trainers, and I know you want to be training and doing your thing and getting ready for when this stuff is over so you can get back into the ring.
Oh, for sure. And, like, the way I thought about it is that I really couldn't do much in Iowa anyway because, like, as precautions, like, the school shut down too, which is definitely, like, the right move to make, in my opinion. So I wasn't mad about it at all. But, like I said, I guess stuff happens for a reason. So since I do live in Iowa, I don't get to come down to New Mexico very often. So I guess this is me making up for lost time with all my family.
There you go. That's always good. You know what I'm saying? To be around family, especially when you don't get to see them as much, especially with your kind of schedule. But you've been wrestling since 2017. Who or what got you into wrestling? And before you got into wrestling, the business itself, how long have you started liking wrestling before you got into the game?
Oh, man, I feel like with almost every, like, wrestling interview, they have, like, that cliche answer of, like, oh, I was a kid and I just loved it my entire life. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, guys, that's my answer, too. I've been watching it since I was 9, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. And I was always that kid that, like, if I liked something, I, like, really liked it. Like, there's nothing else. So my entire life has really been just, like, wrestling. And even in school, like, high school, college, if you were to ask anybody about me, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the wrestling chick. So I guess when friends and family found out this is what I was doing as a career, they're like, oh, yeah, makes sense.
Maybe.
So I guess you're a wrestling fan's or a wrestler's dream girl, if you would say that, almost. But, yeah, so, I mean, I love wrestling as well. I've been watching wrestling for, like, over 25 years. I'm not going to say my age, but, I mean, you know, I've been watching wrestling for over 25 years. But who actually trained you?
I was actually originally trained by Seth Rollins and Merrick Brave at the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy. I graduated from the school in April of 2017, and it's just been a really awesome ride. Like, I can't say enough about them. Like, everyone's treated me super good, gave me the tools to succeed. It's all just been really dope. So I can never say more, like, without being, like, super, like, yeah, this is, like, who I was trained by without, because I hate being, like, the name-droppy person. But, like, honestly, they've been awesome. Like, great people, great trainers. Yeah.
Right. For sure. That sounds great. I mean, he's about to have a baby, Becky Lynch. He knocked Becky Lynch up. She had to relinquish that title on Monday. But, yeah, who was your favorite wrestler growing up? And is Seth Rollins one of your favorite wrestlers since he trained you?
I mean, like, when I was in high school, like, I was a really big fan of The Shield. But to be honest, I was more of, like, a Dean Ambrose kind of girl. But that really didn't have, like, that didn't really have any kind of, like, implication on where I wanted to go to get trained. Honestly, like I said, since I was somebody who, like, loved wrestling so much, and because I loved wrestling so much, I knew that if I really wanted to give it a shot, I would give it, like, my all, and I would want to be trained by the best. I didn't want to, like, half-ass it by any means. So I thought, you know, like, he's up the top of his game, like, right now, and if I were to get trained by him, that would be pretty dope, and can confirm, it is pretty dope. So that was mainly, like, where I kind of steered my decision into where I got into wrestling.
Nice. Yeah, that's fun. What's your favorite thing to keep you occupied during this pandemic? I mean, you're around your family, so I know that's kind of fun for you. That's the best thing to do right now. But what's your favorite thing to keep you occupied?
Honestly, like, I've been really treating, like, this quarantine time as, like, a mental reset, because I know, like, with all the running and gunning, and especially, like, wrestling every weekend and going here, there, and everywhere, it can get real easy to get burned out. So I felt like if I could just take this time, especially since I feel like this is a time where everyone's kind of forced to chill out. If there's any time to do
right,
it, it would
yeah.
definitely be now. Yeah, so I've been really just taking this time to, like, get my mind right. And, of course, like, trying to keep in shape the best I can, but more importantly, just getting my mind right, because I think if your mind isn't right, like, nothing else is going to go right for you. So that's been, like, a big priority. So, like, Netflix, I took up yoga, so that's weird, but cool. Things like that.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds like fun, Netflix and stuff like that. But, yeah, my thing is I just got back to work, and, man, I was gone from work for almost, like, 2 months, and I was, like, going so crazy. When I got back to work, I didn't even know how to act at work. I was like, I'm ready to go back to work. And when I got there, I'm like, oh, shit. But, I mean, I got used to it. I mean, but it was kind of fun being off. But, like, I didn't think I was going to be off for 2 months. For the first week or two, I was like, okay, this is fun. I'm going to chill out. I'm going to enjoy. After a month, I'm like, man, I'm pulling my hair out. I'm like, I'm going crazy. And, yeah, so, I mean, it was fun going back to work. But what's your favorite thing to do besides wrestling? Or is wrestling, like, your everything and you do, like, do you got a favorite thing to do besides wrestling? Is you got a favorite other sport or another hobby?
Man, let me tell you, like, quarantine has also, like, really enlightened me on a lot of things. And one of those things is that your girl don't have any hobbies.
Okay.
When I moved to Iowa, like I said, it was just kind of like an eat, sleep, drink, breathe, wrestling kind of thing. Like, because the house that I live in Iowa currently is like 5 minutes from the Black and Brave gym. There's like open ring periods all day, every day, except for Saturdays when we like obviously have shows. But like, so for the last 3 years, it's just been like wrestling, like even going from job to job to make money on the side. Like, wrestling has just been like such the prime point, especially when I live with like so many other people who want the same goal. So like, we encourage each other and we do these things every weekend.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, now that I've had a chance to kind of just sit with myself, I'm like, wow, I really ain't got no hobbies, do I? So it's definitely not a bad thing, but I'm trying to kind of rediscover things that I like other than professional wrestling.
Right. Like, my favorite thing to do besides wrestling, I've been playing a lot of games. Like, when this pandemic happened, I didn't play games, but, like, my brother just turned 14, and he's like, come on, play some NBA 2K with me. I'm like, I got him into the game, but I, like, fell out. And then he's like, come on. And I'm like, okay. And I kind of sucked, but now you know what I'm saying. But before I got back to work, I'm kind of kicking his ass now. And it's kind of fun to play the game. I was like, cool. So, besides that, man, I really don't have hobbies myself. But, I mean, it's all good because, I mean, I got this. And this is keeping me occupied also during this whole thing. But I don't think you ever wrestled in Michigan. Have you ever heard of a horseman?
I have wrestled in Michigan. I wrestled in Michigan actually this year. It was one of my few shows that I had before quarantine happened. So yeah, it was on the outskirts. I can't remember the town name. Gosh, I'll have to look it up. But it was definitely on like a suburb of Detroit. So yeah, it was my first time wrestling in Michigan, but it definitely happened this year.
Okay, for sure. Well, have you ever heard of Horseland in Michigan?
I actually have. Like, I try to, like, do my due diligence on promotions, like, throughout the Midwest because, like, I try to conduct myself as a professional in all aspects of the wrestling game. So, like, knowing of potential places to work and places where I can kind of see where I can contribute because I think I got my own little flavor, my own little sauce that I can kind of put here, there, and everywhere. So I haven't had the chance to work with him yet, but I definitely heard of him.
For sure. Briar, Rachel, you got Valentina on the radio. She wants to get booked after all this is over. I mean, you guys got to book Valentina. You guys got to put her against somebody good. I mean, I don't know if you heard of Peter B. Beautiful, but that's a flamboyant queen of extreme. I don't know if you would want to go against him.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I'm down to fight everyone and everyone. All right, like I said, everyone can get these hands all day, every day.
There you go. Yeah, man. I mean, because I'm a... Man, Horseland's a great place to be, and I go there. I've been there every time. I've been going there for 2 years. I'm the podcast guy, and it's a great place to be in a work environment because, I mean, I go backstage with all the guys, and, man, it's nothing but love back there. So I think you'd be a good mix in the Horseland roster.
Oh, for sure. I'm all about, you know, bringing my own kind of wrestling and my own kind of flavor, like I said, because I think that, like, with my size and just, like, the moveset that I have, I feel like I can bring something different wherever I go. So I'm always down. It sounds like it'd be a good time.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're shorter than Alexa Bliss. She thinks the 5 feet of fury is bad, man. Wait until they get that 4 feet of hard hitting.
Right.
So, I mean, there you go. So, I mean, you wrestled everywhere. You wrestled in places like CEW, IWA. You even wrestled in Shimmer, which is, I think, I want to say that's the next step to WWE. Will we ever or when will we see you in WWE, NXT, AEW, or even Impact?
Man, that's the golden question, ain't it? You and everyone else and my mom, they asking all the same questions. I'm just hoping, you know, working hard, doing the work, and seeing what comes. Because, like, I've gotten the opportunity to do extra work for WWE a couple of times, and that was really cool. So, yeah, man, I'm, like, just enjoying the ride as it can, like, keeping my head down, you know, being a decent person, all that good stuff. And if it happens, it happens. And I'm totally cool with whatever the journey of wrestling comes with. Because I think that's something, especially last year, since I was doing so many different things, that it was something that really didn't really keep itself in, like, the forefront of my mind. Like, hey, this is fun. Let's just have a good time and see what happens with it, rather than, like, kind of focusing on being like, I need to be here and here and here, and I need to be here, or if I'm, like, not having fun. Like, no, wrestling is a good time. So whatever comes, I'm cool with it. And, yeah, that's
right. It takes time, you know what I'm saying? It's not all going to happen at once. But for sure, I could see you in NXT, or I could see you even in AEW with the women's division that they got. You know, that I could see you in either one of those spots in NXT or AEW. Because, I mean, WWE's main roster is, like, just trash. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, I used to watch it all the time, but the mainstream is not where it's at. Impact is pretty good. You know, they got a good roster. So, like I said, I could see you in any one of those three, but I would really like to see you in action in Horseland because I really want to see you live. But I know you do deathmatch wrestling, don't you?
No, actually, I've never done a death match. I have gotten color in a match before where I was bleeding everywhere, but that was unintentional. But funnily enough, that was actually one of my favorite matches. But no, I've never done, like, a death match per se, but I've done, like, hardcore matches for sure, like, bring the weapons matches. I've done, like, ladder matches. I've done, like, tables matches. There was even a match that I had that was real fun. It was last year where I got to choke a homegirl out with a loaf of bread. and I took like a face buster on a handful of Legos. So that was a good time. But nothing
I'm
like specifically
sure.
like light to be anything like that. But I mean, like, hey, we gotta try everything once, right?
Right, most definitely. That'd be cool. But do you watch Deathmatch Wrestling? Are you into it? Do you dabble with you know, watching it?
Actually, fun fact, in high school I used to be like a real big CZW fan. Like that was my jam, and like kind of circling back to me being like a Dean Ambrose fan, that's actually where I became a really big fan of him when he was doing like the stuff in CZW, and that was my exposure to CZW. So him and like Drake Younger and Scotty Vortex. Mm-hmm.
That's
and,
Raleigh.
Like, all those
That's
guys,
Raleigh.
Like in like 2010,
yeah.
2011, CZW. That was like my jam in high school, and people would be like, "Oh my God, why are you watching this?" And I'm like, "Because it's awesome." But like, I haven't really watched too much Deathmatch stuff myself now, as like a little bit older and wiser. But like, I have a huge respect for it. I think the people that do it are awesome, and like I said, like if the time was right, I wouldn't be against like doing it maybe once upon a time. But we'll see.
Right, most definitely. I mean, I love Deathmatch Wrestling. That's why I asked, because I asked all my interviews, you know, all the wrestlers that are on my show, if they like Deathmatch Wrestling, because, I mean, I love it. That's what Horror Slam is. They got a mixture of both Deathmatch Wrestling and pro wrestling. It's both great. But do you watch the current wrestling right now, like the Empty Arena matches that they put on by WWE, NXT, or AEW, or Impact?
Yeah, I've been trying to kind of keep as much tabs as I can on everything, because at the end of the day, like, I still really think that wrestling is awesome just from a fan's point of view. So like, while I watch it and I try to learn from it and try to pick things out where I can, I still like to watch it and enjoy it for what it is. Like, for example, like the Money in the Bank match from this week on Sunday, I didn't get a chance to watch it live, but I watched it afterwards on the network, and it was ridiculous in the best way. And the way I was describing it to another wrestler that I was talking to about it is that, like, if you go into it wanting to have a good time, you're going to have a good time. So
yeah.
Just keeping that mindset, I guess, in times like this is also really important. But yeah, I try to keep tabs as much as I can, because like, we don't have cable here at the house I'm staying, but we do got internet. So I guess keeping track where I can, that's what I've been doing.
Right, YouTube basically on the highlight part. But yeah, that's what I like it. I like the I'm getting kind of aggravated with it, because I'm used to the fans and shit, you know. But I kind of liked it. Like, you know, people were complaining about WrestleMania, but I'm like, you know, you guys are complaining about the empty arena matches and talking about empty WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? They're actually doing their job, and, you know, they're wrestling. They're doing what's in the name, wrestle. You know, it's, you know, you can't complain, because even when you're, you know, when you're in the arena, you still complain about the product that's going on. You complain about the wrestling or whatever, you know. So, I mean, I like it.
Yeah, and I feel like people are always going to be unhappy in some certain way, but I like to keep a positive mindset, because wrestling's cool.
For sure. And I know you're on social media. I don't know if you have any merch, and I know you need some bookings when all of this is over. So if you want to let the listeners know where they can find you on social media, your merch possibly, and let the promoters and bookers know where they could book you at?
Yeah, for sure. I've made it really easy for everybody. All my handles on everything is at Southwest Spitfire, so like Southwest Spitfire, at Southwest Spitfire, and that's on Twitter, that's on Facebook, that's on Instagram. You can usually hit up the DMs if you are looking to do the bookings, but as for merch right now, also hit up the DMs if you want. I have some shirts going on. It's been a real big delay, so if anybody listens to this who has bought a shirt for me, I apologize, because all of my shirts are in Iowa, and I am not. So as soon as I get to Iowa, I'll be shipping those out to y'all. But, yeah, I got shirts, I got pictures. Just hit up the DMs for all that stuff, and we can make it happen.
For sure. But we're running out a little bit of time here, and I appreciate you for coming on at such a short notice, and thank you for everything on being, you know, prompt with it, and I thank you for everything.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me. It was a good time.
Not a problem. You have a great night, and keep safe and keep healthy.
Yeah, y'all too. Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right, callers, that was Valentina Loca. If you got any questions for me about Valentina Loca, again, hit me up. Area code 646-668-8672.
My next guest that I'm going to bring on in a couple minutes, he's a deathmatch wrestler, one of the toughest motherfuckers I have ever seen. I've seen him maybe once or twice, but I'm going to tell you, that dude is one crazy motherfucker, and his name is Neil Cutter. That's one crazy deathmatch wrestler, and he'll be on in a few minutes. But, Martez, what'd you think about my first guest, Valentina Loca?
Oh, I absolutely loved her, man. She was like one of those kind of people that you want to get behind. You know, she seemed like she's filled with a lot of life and she's filled with a lot of energy, man. And she seems like she has a bright future. So once again, man, you had another great guest.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, I guess we'll talk about wrestling before my next guest get on. But yeah, man, I can't wait until all this is over. But yeah, what'd you think about Becky relinquishing the heavyweight, the women's championship, like I was talking to Valentina about?
Mm-hmm.
Being
pregnant. It's a part of life, man. That kind of stuff happens. And the reason I'm saying is because a lot of people were bent out of shape. Some people say she was selfish for getting pregnant. I saw those comments throughout the week. And everybody entitled to what they believe, but I mean, it's life, you know, and she has the right to pursue life as a mother. So I'm happy for her in that aspect, but at the same time, you know, I'm wondering in my head, like, is it ever going to be the same? Will she ever come back? Will she ever, if she does come back, will it be at a part-time basic
schedule,
you know? So many things is going in my head about her because that motherhood stuff is serious, and a lot of these wrestlers, especially WWE, they're on a roll 300 days out the year, really. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's gonna happen, but it was definitely a shock, to be honest with you.
Right. And did you hear that she possibly wrestled at WrestleMania pregnant? That was, when I seen that, I was like, wow, like how, I mean, it was like, I mean, Paige's mother did it with her. I mean, maybe the baby's going to become a wrestler. Who knows?
Right.
I mean, who knows, but congrats to them. I'm happy for it, but like people are crazy and selfish for saying that, man. I heard a lot of that myself, but I'm happy. I was like, at first I thought it was, you know, that she was going to retire because something happened or something when they said she was going to make an announcement. But when I see she was pregnant, I was like, wow.
Yep. I didn't know. I thought she was injured, honestly, at first. But I think this was also a good thing. You know, this is the best, like, because people were already getting tired of Becky Lynch. And even myself, you know, I was kind of ready for her to give up the title. So I think this was the best possible way for her to relinquish the title without looking bad, you know, becoming a pregnant woman, you know.
But yeah, go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
Yep. Yeah, that's all
but
I
yeah,
got.
But, it's crazy. I'm happy for it. I mean, I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah, it was crazy. And then Raw wasn't too bad this week. I don't think Raw wasn't too bad. I didn't really get to catch the end of it, but I heard that Seth Rollins broke the rule. That's why he got disqualified early, and the match ended so early. Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, it's one of Vince's personal rules. It's one of his personal rules. It's the one that where if you're in a tag match, I mean, it's kind of confusing, but I understand it. He's like it's like where a legal person could touch the illegal person, or the illegal person can't touch the legal person after the five count. But the legal person could touch the illegal person outside or something like that. And that's what happened. That's why the match ended early. It's one of the confusing it's confusing, but that's what happened. It was a confusing thing. It's one of his, like, his own rules.
Wow, I never heard of that rule in my life, man. That's, I'm
me
confused.
Neither. I didn't either. It's crazy. When I heard about it, I was like, wow, what the hell? Like, yeah. But I mean, Vince is Vince. Vince is Vince.
Yep, he is. We have a caller up, man. I don't know if this is your guest, but we can give it a try.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Everybody, this is my guest on the line. He's a deathmatch wrestler, one of the like I said, one of the craziest motherfuckers on the planet. I only seen him wrestle once or twice, but he's my brother, Neil the Cutter. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh man, I can't complain, brother. It's good to hear from you, man. How you doing?
Editing videos, watching wrestling every now and again. Like the last thing I watched was Becky Lynch announce that she was pregnant. I was like, okay, cool. So I've been quite bored, actually, over the last couple months.
Yeah, I mean, we all been bored after this pandemic because me and my brother, Martez, we were supposed to go to the actual – this is the first we were going to go to the SmackDown that actually first got canceled, the first event that got canceled. We were supposed to go to that. And after all that, it fell down the hole.
Yeah, right? Like once Once they stopped travel and stuff, everything just kind of shut down and got real weird for about a week or two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like after like shut down this whole wrestling business. I mean, I'm pretty sure it messed up a lot of your bookings and a lot of things that you had going on. I'm pretty sure because I know you were booked forever. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, it messed up a couple tournaments I was supposed to be in. Asylum Deathmatch Tournament 2 was supposed to happen, and they got shut down because of just the cap on people and such, and just everyone's been real cautious, just been waiting for the okay for everything to kind of open up. Like, I just heard yesterday, like, I'm in Missouri, I found out yesterday that, like, apparently we can have up to 200 people now, like, those type of gatherings.
Okay.
I just don't know state by state how they're going about it.
Yeah, it's not happening here in Michigan yet. It's not happening. They're still got the shutdown rules going down out here.
Yeah, like I know as soon as they let any group of people get together, I know ICW Milwaukee is going to be back on. Dysfunction is
sure.
A crazy dude.
I'm sure, man. You're a part of it, so I'm pretty sure it's crazy. I know it, but you've been in this game called wrestling for over 14 years. What or who got you into wrestling, and how long before you were in the game did you like wrestling?
Well, the funny thing is, I can remember the match, but I remember being younger. But if you actually look it up, I think I was 11, but I think I was, in my memory it says I was 9. But I remember seeing, of all people, DDP and Glacier have a match. And the whole showmanship of it, I was big in Mortal Kombat at the time. So I was like, cool, this dude looks like Sub-Zero. He's going to beat the shit out of him.
I
found the Cruiserweight division there and what they really bred into it. And that inspired me. Chris Jericho is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And he hates death matches. It makes me laugh.
For sure, man.
And like I tell people I started in 04, and I actually like look back at it. I actually started in 03, so I'm at almost 17 years doing wrestling or been involved in wrestling in some shape or form. So like it's getting out there.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, man, I've seen you wrestle in a Horror Slam. I believe it was last year. It was last year that I seen you in a Horror Slam. When this is over, will we see you back in Michigan? And what did you think about the Michigan wrestling scene? And what did you think about Horror Slam?
Well, for one, the fans are great. Like, I communicate with a few of them that are regulars up there. And, like, the one thing that I've always struck normal with Deathmatch fans is that they're always nice. They're always very appreciative. The difference between, the normal average Deathmatch fan and, like, going to Horror Slam, like, they were extremely welcoming, like, hey, man, come over here. You want a beer? We'll get you a beer, Just offering stuff up right away. And, like, I've really got to give a big shout-out to to Horror Slam because they actually put me in the ring with a guy I looked up to and really was hoping to get a match with at some point in my career, and that was Necro Butcher. You know,
right. Yep, that's the match I seen you in. That was the match. I actually think I got that recorded, and it's unused footage because I've been using a little bit of unused footage for Horror Slam, and I believe that your match is a match that's up next, I believe, on that I got an unused footage for. I got to look for it on my laptop.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know about that, man. Fucking, I want to see my face get bashed in by Necro and his guys. Because I got beat up for a good hot minute there.
Yeah, I mean, Necro's just a legend in the game. Necro's just somebody that everybody looks up to in the game. I mean, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, yeah, I'm going to look up to a WWE guy. When Necro Butcher actually is the same age as Edge, but has given a lot more to the game than Edge has. He's given a lot more of his body than Edge has. I mean, I'm not knocking Edge.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great career,
yeah,
Necro,
definitely.
Necro, he was even a part of Ring of Honor. I know you know this, but he was a part of the Ring of Honor group back when Martini was there and a lot of the big names that are in WWE now.
Yeah, I remember watching Joe and Necro go at it a couple times. Like, I know they did that in ROH, and like, I watched around the 2003-2004 indie scene. Like, that's when I really got to see it and like see someone who I've known for years, like Matt Sydal. Like, I knew him for years prior to him breaking into the business and becoming a big deal. And you know, like, I got to know not Necro Butcher. I got to know like Delirious in the area at the time, and like got to know these really, really smart guys, and just see what they rised up to. And like, the thing I tell people about the Edge and Necro thing is that like, they just live two different lifestyles. Like, Edge went more of the big fed name and doing their style of hardcore. Necro went for the realistic, let's go get bloody, have a real fist fight kind of style.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I love about Necro. I mean, I've seen that, like I said, I've seen him when he wrestled you, and I believe I've seen him, like I said, I've seen both of you guys, I've seen you guys go to at it, but I've seen him a separate time after that.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to wrestle him anytime. Anytime he wants to get in the ring, I'm more than happy to. Saying I'm not unused to getting beat up all the time, so it'd be really nothing new other than the person that the fist is attached to.
Definitely. But yeah, man. Like I'm gonna go back to a basic question: Who trained you? Who trained Neil Cutter?
Well, that's a hard question to answer sometimes because the guy who actually trained me how to do the moves and the bumps and stuff like that, like, he's not really involved in wrestling. He actually recently got a hold of me about trying to break back into wrestling. You know, he was known in the area of St. Louis, never got much farther than that. You know, just had kids, had to reprioritize and such like that. But the dude is technically sound last time I checked with him. But, like, once I got away from him and just did a few indie shows on my own and stuff like that, I caught up with the Hooligans, and they kind of showed me the ethics side of it and the hardworking side, and like, hey, like, you need to present yourself like this, otherwise you're not going to go nowhere. You know, they gave me the behind the scenes kind of training I needed, where the guy who actually trained me to bump and do the moves, he rarely does it anymore.
Okay. Nice. Who was your favorite wrestler growing up, and who glued you into wrestling? What wrestler?
Oh, that's easy. I actually have two guys I really looked up to, and they were pivotal points in my career. One was Jericho, Chris Jericho, because he was a small guy in the cruiserweight division, and yet he was still able to go on and become a main eventer and do all these cool things in wrestling despite him being a small dude. So that really inspired me to be a cruiserweight and really go out there and do all the high-flying, exciting stuff. And then later down the road, once I discovered death matches, like, I was gravitated straight towards Masada. And that's the guy I've always tried to – you know, try to get that intensity whenever I hit somebody. Like, he comes at him and just hits him like a freight train. So anytime I wind up, I always try to have that kind of impact when I hit somebody. Like, I want everyone in the front row to be like, oh, that had to hurt.
Definitely, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I understand that much. And talking about deathmatch wrestling, man, I love deathmatch wrestling. And like I said, you're one of the toughest motherfuckers I've seen. When I seen that match with the Necro, man, I seen it. What made you choose to do deathmatch wrestling instead of going into, like, the pro wrestling thing? I know you grew up a pro wrestling fan, but what made you go into deathmatch wrestling? I mean, I know you love it.
Well,
I love it.
Well, like, I want to say I did, like, 3 or 4 years of just doing the normal cruiserweight, trying to make a mark as a wrestler, and looked around, and I was like, all the guys that are like me, we're all doing kind of the same thing. I need to do something to stand out from everything else. I went and did the first two IWA tryouts. I went and did those. You know, I figured if I didn't make it here, I'm not going to make it anywhere. And they saw how I put the match together in the second tryout and how it drastically was different from the first. And they decided to bring me on with the hooligans and all that jazz. And just through that, saw that they had more violent stuff than I'm used to. Like, the most violent thing I saw up to that point was, like, Born to Be Wired with Sabu and Terry Funk. And I was like, that's sick. That's cool wrestling.
Yeah.
And then you get to IWA, you find out there's King of Death matches, there's Carnage Cup, TOD, you know, a bunch of them on the West Coast now.
Yeah.
You know, just a bunch of tournaments that you can do, and it always intrigued me, like, who could go through that much punishment in a night and still be the last person standing? Will their matches hold up as time goes on, or will they fall down? Like, you know, you really see the metal of a man, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely, man. Like my hat go off to all the deathmatch wrestlers, and including yourself, because, man, you guys give more than a lot of wrestlers. And, man, you guys bleed, and you guys do crazy shit. Just I'm just going to say it like that. You guys do the craziest shit I've seen. And I've barely gotten into deathmatch wrestling almost 3 years ago when I started the deathmatch podcast. And, 2018, 19, 20. We're going on 3 years. But anyway, yeah, man, you know, my hat goes off to you guys because you guys do a lot. And I know you guys, you know, you guys are human. You know, if any regular person, you know, takes what you guys take, they'll die or they'll be in the hospital whining or whatever. You know what I mean? So my hats are off to you guys. All the best match wrestlers out there, man.
Well,
big
the funny thing is like the thing that people don't realize is, like, a lot of the cuts you get when they say you need stitches, like, it's to keep you from having a scar more times than not. Yeah, sometimes there's some really deeps you really do need stitched up to keep closed. But we're talking, like, you know, cuts and gouges that really aren't that bad. A buddy I know, he was my tag partner, Alex Herzog, the big tall dude in the six man. Like, I wrestled him in a death match and gave him a blockbuster on top of knives. Huge gouge in his bicep. This huge chunk, and he's just like, eh, whatever.
Right,
he just brushes
yeah,
it off, and I'm like, I'd be panicking. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm saying. A lot of you guys do that crazy shit, and like I said, man, It's not fun to watch, but, you know, it's fun to watch. You know what I'm saying? As a podcast,
yeah.
As a fan going into it.
Well, like, when people say, like, it's a car wreck, like, that's a very true statement. Anytime I've been in the ring with Schlack, I always tell people, like, that's a car wreck.
Oh,
like, you don't want to see the aftermath, but you want to see it as it happens because it's just going to be insane on what happens.
Talking about Schlack, why don't you? He's the deathmatch champion in Horror Slam, but we see the challenge Schlack for that title coming after the pandemic.
Hell yeah. I'll take anyone's hardcore or deathmatch title from him. Like, fuck yeah, I'm a honey badger. I don't have no fucks to give, man. I'll take on someone who's 2 foot two or 8 foot tall. I don't care. Take on all shapes and sizes.
Go.
Hell yes.
Like one thing people have asked me before is like, would you face a woman in a death match? And I'm like, hell yeah, equal opportunity.
Fuck yeah. There you go. There you go. If you want to get in the death match game, you got to take on the death match guy.
Yeah, like that's you have no good. Idea how many people I'm usually their first like deathmatch guy, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, right.
Go out there and get the crap beat out of me.
Definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. I can't wait till you come back to Michigan, man. I bought you a couple beers before, like you were saying, but I'd like to buy you some more.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'd love to come out. It sucks that what is it? I don't know if. Riv, I saw you tag Rachel in this earlier, so I don't know if she'll get up for me revealing this. But, like, we were supposed to come up in February, and we had it all worked out. Everything was cool. And then I come to find out 2 weeks before the show, the Hooligans are retiring on the same day.
Oh, wow.
So I feel so horribly bad about that because, like, I didn't know until 2 weeks prior to it. So I was like, oh,
yeah.
Crap. Like, this isn't good at all. Like, I feel so horrible. I really, really want to come up and make it up for everyone, not just including her, but, you know, fans and stuff, because I know some of you guys want to see me up there, and I want to come up and do a crazy death match of some sort and just, you know, make the money worth it, you know, make
yeah,
the ticket worth it.
Definitely, definitely. That's another reason why I said hats off to you, because you guys do it. Every single time I go to Horseland, I get my money's worth. Like I said, I can't wait to see you come back. But yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe the Hooligans are gonna retire. That's crazy. I got their match on my podcast too. Actually, I think that's was you on that card that night? I believe
so. Yeah, we're all up there. We're all up there together.
Yeah, I definitely
yeah,
got your match.
I think,
I, got
I think the Hooligans faced Wellington
Brian,
and his tag partner.
Logan. Yeah. Yo,
yeah.
I definitely got your match on my laptop, so I'm going to end up putting that out. I'll tag you in it, too. It's on Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 on YouTube, guys. Like, share, and subscribe on that YouTube chat to my YouTube channel. But, yeah, I'll end up looking up on my laptop, actually, tonight, and if I find it, I'll edit it and post it by the end of this week. So for sure.
Oh, cool. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
So I recently just found a bunch of old matches from IWA back in like 2009, early 2010. And I've been buying them up because I'm like, I need to have all of my shit. As much as I can get.
Would you mind if I post some of that stuff on my YouTube channel?
No, go for it, man.
Okay, for sure. Now I'm going to look it up and I'll post it up there. That way, we get you out there. Yeah, what do you do during the pandemic? What are you doing to keep yourself occupied?
Well, I've been doing a lot of video editing. Like, I'm going to be cutting a show together soon. It'll be the first time cutting together a show, but I feel pretty confident that I can do it. It's not very, very hard. But, like, I've been diving into learning how to do that kind of stuff and do commercials and stuff like that. Like, I have all kinds of, like, fun little promos I could put out there, but it's always for, like, you know, the Honey Badger returns to this place or a first time ever for the Honey Badger here, and with everything locked down, I can't pass any of that stuff, put it out, because I don't know if I'm going to go to that company anytime soon, you know?
Right.
Like, no, but, outside of that, I've been working on a project, been helping an owner with a deathmatch tournament, first time in Phoenix, Arizona. We're to do it in November, so hopefully all this stuff will kind of clear up and be a little bit safer by then. I'm sure it will be. We're trying to get it to where we can live stream it, so people can actually watch from home and stuff. I just don't know all that much about live streaming. But we've got John Wayne Murdoch, myself, a guy named Outrage. He was on a couple of Slave of Deaths for Primos. Aaron Andrews, who's like a new up-and-comer kind of deathmatch kid from down there, you know, we're kind of seeing what his salt is worth. We got Herzog
right.
in it. Give me a second. Phoenix Kid is also in it. Casanova Valentin, and we got Masada.
Nice. That sounds like a stack card. I just had John Wayne on my show, I want to say about 3 weeks or a month ago, and then I just had Casanova Valentin a week or two ago. So, yeah, they were like almost back-to-back that I had them on the show. Yeah, they're great guys too.
I keep telling them that in matches I'm going to start slapping him around and calling him Damien because that was one of his first gimmick names. Because that's how I met him. He was Damien Payne. He was a redheaded, clean-shaven kid. Look back in IWA. Like, I have a meme somewhere where it's, like, a picture of him and a guy who owns a company now named Troy. And just look like two Hoosiers, just the most mixed mash of kind of gimmicks put together. And I'm like, would you ever imagine in the world back at this time when we did the tryouts that this guy would be a future King of Death winner? You know,
yeah,
just you do not put the two together at all.
No. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, you were we were talking about I was gonna ask you a question. Do you watch the actual like current wrestling like AEW, WWE, or NXT, the empty arena matches?
No. The only thing I've seen is the Becky Lynch thing, and like. It, just for me, from my standpoint, like, it's a cool moment for her because she's announcing to the world that she's pregnant. You know, like, the look on Asuka's face was seemed like a genuine, unknown reaction.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah,
just the way that Becky kind of looked out to the crowd, like, as if they were there, kind of. Made me feel weird about the moment, but overall, that's the only thing I've seen where it's like an empty arena.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was the way she reacted after seemed like she had ADD, though. After seemed like she had ADD running around. Oh, my God! I'm like, whoa! I started to laugh. I was drinking a beer and I almost spit my beer out after I seen that. I started like laughing my ass off.
Yeah, I can see what you mean by that. Need to give her a little bit of riddle in there.
Yeah.
Saying, wasn't she like SmackDown champion for a while? Like the woman SmackDown champion?
Yeah, SmackDown champion. Yeah, last year. It was last year before WrestleMania. Right before WrestleMania Charlotte beat her.
Even as a gimmick, I would probably be like, oh, they're different colors, but cool.
Right.
That's the only difference I really see.
So most definitely. But I know you're on social media. Do you got any merch? And I know you need bookings after this, and because I want to see you back at Horseland. Do you want to let everybody know what your social media marks are? Media is going to be where they could get your merch and where the promoters and bookers could book you?
Yeah. Let's see. Let's start with T-shirts. I got to think about this stuff because I get hit in the head so often. I have T-shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com. I got two on there. Got the Invader Neil, which is based off of Invader Zim. So if you like that kind of stuff, you'll like that shirt. Other one is the Honey Badger. It's all color. They're both only $20, so, you know, I'm not overpricing them by any means.
Right,
kind of a standard T-shirt.
Support them.
What is it? You can find me on Facebook as Neil Cutter. Should have a picture of, like, me and Supreme up right now. Eventually, it'll just be me in a bloody face. I have an Instagram. I believe that's NDCPOD. I believe that's it. And on Twitter, I believe I'm under Fearless Neil. Same thing. I should have a bloody face of some sort or some wacky comments. I usually say really outlandish things. I have a best of all digital download that I just released. It's $25. You get 10 matches, all death matches, all tournaments except for one. And there's some of my bloodiest matches. Like, I faced John Moxley in Prince of Death, Drake Younger in King of Death 11. I think I got my first match back into death matches against Schlack from SOS 3. So there's some pretty gory stuff up that I can send you. You can get through me on all my social medias for that because I'm doing it directly.
Okay. All right, guys, you heard it from Neil Cutter, where you guys get merch, bookers. You can find Neil the Book and get him on social media, everybody. But I'm running out of time, Neil. I appreciate you coming on such a short notice, and I appreciate you giving me your time. And hopefully we'll have you back on soon so we can have you on longer so we can talk more. But I appreciate you coming on, man. And I can't wait till you come back to Michigan so I can buy you a couple beers.
Hell yeah, man. Anytime you want me on, I'm more than happy to come on.
All right, Neil. I appreciate you, and you have a good night. Stay healthy.
Yeah, you too, man. Stay safe.
All right, listeners, that was Neil Cutter, Deathmatch Wrestler. You guys got any questions before I get off the line? Area code 646-668-8672. Martez, you got anything you want to talk about before the show's over?
Not quite, but I do want to say this. I want to tell you how great of a job you're doing, man. I mean, you've been doing this way longer, for a long time, even before you came on this platform, but I do want to take this time out again and say thank you, man, and you're doing a heck of a job, and we're just getting started. You know, you always have great guests on this show, so, That's pretty much it for tonight.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Without you and Open Talk Radio, the Flash 313, man, this wouldn't be possible for me either. And you're the man, and I appreciate all your hard work that you do. You know, I know you hear it a lot, but also, man, same likewise. And nobody got a drive like you, and I'll tell you that. And I'll say it on the air. But, yeah, brother, I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Likewise. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure if Gorilla Position is up next, but later on, the Gorilla Position will be live, and they will have two great guests. One is coming from Puerto Rico. I'm not sure what his name is. And they will have NWA's World Heavyweight Champion, my favorite World Heavyweight Champion in all of wrestling right now, Nick Aldis. Man, Steve Aarons and Macho Ghost, man, I hope you guys have a great time, and I'll be tuning in if I can't call in and talk to the World Heavyweight Champion and get a question. But, I mean, I'll be tuning in for sure, and I'm pretty sure you guys will tune in. If you guys ain't, that's something you guys are going to miss, and I don't want you guys to miss it. So, Gorilla Position, Steve Aarons, and the Macho Ghost, they're two guests, one from Puerto Rico and the NWA's World Heavyweight Champion on Open Talk Radio, The Flash. Thank you, guys, from the Southwest Texas. I love you. Come on.